The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
There. So hello again. Hello and welcome to this rendition of Happy Hour as we come together as a community to practice these beautiful qualities of the heart. So for today's practice, I'd like to invite us to explore one of the four Brahma Viharas, one of the four beautiful qualities of the heart, beautiful practices of the heart, and the third one today. So third one being, in Pali, it's called mudita. The translation is vicarious joy or sympathetic joy or basically happiness for the happiness of others. Wow, what a beautiful quality. And whenever I think of mudita, I think of joy. It just makes me happy when I practice it. I especially practice it as an uplift. When I feel like a doldrum, I want to become happy. So I just practice this and my heart and mind becomes happier. So it's just really an act of generosity, practicing mudita. And guess what? Who benefits from this act of generosity of practice? I do. We do when we practice it. So the Dalai Lama has said, when you're just happy for your own happiness, you have one chance of just being happy. When you're happy for the happiness of others, you have, 7 billion is the population of the earth to 7 billion chances of becoming happy. So a couple more words about this practice. Basically, this is metta, which is loving kindness, which is just friendliness, goodwill. It's the feeling of simple goodwill that we have friendliness. You have friendliness for your friends. You have friendliness for your neighbors, perhaps, or for pets, for little children. You know, it's just friendliness, goodwill. And this friendliness, when it meets someone who is having some happiness in their life, it doesn't have to be every aspect of their life, but it's one aspect that's going well. And you feel happy for them. You feel genuinely as if it were your own. You let their happiness, the good fortune, uplift your heart. You let it uplift your heart. And it does. He'll also say sometimes what masquerades as mudita is pride, a sense of pride, sort of and pride comes with attachment when you're really proud of something or someone, whereas mudita, vicarious joy, is just abundant. You're just happy for their happiness without making it mine, like, oh, what does it reflect on me if it's your child? Oh, that means I'm a good mother or a good parent, right? So doesn't have those extra unneeded attachments. And the opposite, also to say, the opposite of this beautiful quality of the heart, this vicarious joy, is envy. When your heart gets tied because you want what the other person is having, as if there's it just because they have it, it means you can't have it. The way to work with that, if it comes up, and if it comes up, don't berate yourself. It's okay. The way to work with it is realize there are so many opportunities for happiness in the world. By you becoming happy for them, it doesn't diminish you. It actually uplifts your heart. It gives you more capacity to have more happiness for yourself in so many different ways that might be available for you. So just a couple of this is a rich teaching. Of course, we can spend a whole day practicing this, but maybe that's enough. So let's engage together. So let's get into our meditation postures, whatever it might be in this moment. And arriving in our bodies, arriving in this moment in time. and inhabiting this body fully. Sitting up dignified. Sense of dignity, uprightness. Connecting with the sensations in your limbs, in your legs. Inviting the legs to relax, softened. Inviting the body to relax. Relaxing, softening. Inviting your mind to relax, inviting your heart to relax. Whatever is happening in this moment. Making space in the body, in the mind, in the heart. And allowing the breath, the in-breath and the out-breath to be soothing, calming, nourishing. And if thoughts are arising, you can thank them and say, thank you. Not now. Giving my heart to this practice during this time. Please come back later. Connecting with each in-breath and out-breath, soothing, calming. Here, just here. Don't need to be anywhere else, but here, nourishing, so nourishing just to be here. This is your practice. This is your life. This moment. How do you want to show up in this moment for yourself? Presence, embodiment, kindness, or otherwise. I'd like to invite you to bring to mind someone with whom you have a friendly, easy relationship. Maybe when you think of them, bring them close to your heart, a smile shows up. Could also be a pet or a child. And now consider one aspect of their life where there is goodness. Doesn't have to be every aspect, but one aspect of their life where there's goodness and you're happy for them. As if it were your own goodness, the gift that was in your life, as if maybe they have a relationship with a relative, a family member, their child, their parent, their sibling that is harmonious and you're happy for them. Maybe they have a job they love. Or maybe their health is stable. Stable enough and you're happy for them. Or some other aspect of their life. Let this happiness make you happy. Tune into the goodness of this with generosity, with kindness. If it helps, you can silently say in your heart, I'm happy for your happiness. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your happiness. I'm happy for your good fortune. I'm happy for this gift in your life. It delights me. I take delight. As if it were my own. As if I were enjoying this blessing myself. I can do this. I can do this. My heart is larger than I give myself credit for. I can do this. I can be happy for you. Take delight in this goodness as if it were mine, as if it is mine. As if I were you, as if I am you, because in some ways we are all inter-are, inter-being. In some ways, I am you. You are me. I can relish this goodness. As if you're waking up in their life, enjoying this blessing as them. Let yourself really embody it. And stay embodied. This is not a thinking practice. Stay embodied in your body. This practice doesn't mean you start thinking about all things you like or they have. Feeling into it, feeling with each breath, feeling into the joy, the gladness, the generosity of your happiness for them. As it's yours and it becomes yours. Becomes your happiness. And if the person, situation you've chosen is not working, it's okay to bow and choose someone else. No judgment. And then turning this mudita, happiness for happiness, towards yourself. Is there something about you in this moment that you're happy about? That you're grateful for? In this moment, there's a bird outside my window, and it sounds so sweet. And I feel happy for me that I'm able to hear this mellifluous bird song. I'm happy for my own happiness. See if you can find something in this moment, maybe sound or part of your body feels comfortable and easeful. Be gratitude for the meal you've just eaten or about to eat, the shelter you have, whatever it might be, or friendship you have. Happy for your own happiness, which is basically gratitude. I'm happy for my own good fortune. Again, it doesn't have to be in every aspect of your life, but one aspect. One thing is enough. Be as simple as a bird outside your window. And as we turn to bring this practice to a close, allow yourself to be happy that you have access to the Dharma you're practicing. Not judging your practice, but feeling gladdened that you are practicing, that you have access, that you've met the Dharma, these beautiful teachings. Yay! Happy for my own happiness. And that you get to practice in community. There are so many causes and conditions that have brought this moment to be. Delight, joy, gratitude. And sharing this goodness with all beings everywhere. These planting seeds of generosity and kindness. May they serve all beings everywhere in ways I cannot imagine. serving all beings, including myself. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your practice. Well, I know I feel a bit of an uplift, or much of an uplift from this practice, and hope you do as well. And whatever happened is fine. Of course, it's fine. So we have an opportunity now to engage and share our joy, the practice together. And the question I'd like to ask you is the inquiry for the small groups is. What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? And you go around and round and round. What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? And each person will share one nugget. Share something you're grateful for. Next person will share something they're grateful for. And then the third person, and then you go around and round and round. So, and this, we've done this practice before. It's a joy-producing practice. And believe me, you can find something you're grateful for. Again, it could be as simple as the sound of the bird outside, or maybe you're grateful. Anyway, you know what to do. So I'm going to create the breakout rooms. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Be kind. Be generous. Let's go in alphabetical order according to first name. And what else do I want to say? Each person will offer one nugget for just for your own benefit. Next person goes round and round many times. And please, no advice giving, no changing the topic to something that happened yesterday, today, tomorrow. Stay with your practice. Stay with your practice. Stay with the generosity of practice here and now for yourself and others. Okay. All right. I'm opening the rooms. May you be well. May you be happy. What are you grateful for? Here we go. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let me recreate them. Is that right? Something happened. Hold on. I need to recreate them. Let's try that again. Breakout rooms. Recreate. Oh, I see. There it goes. Oh, okay. That's better. All right. Let's try. Okay. Now, recreated. And I'm about to open them. Here we go. Okay, the rooms are closed. Everybody is back. Welcome back, everyone. So what did you discover your practice today? What happened? And I would love to invite those who haven't spoken in the large group, to pull forward, those who have to pull back, make space for those who usually don't speak up for the first round. We'd love to hear your reflections. What happened? And remember, if you choose to share, you're sharing not just for your own sake, but for everyone. Barbara. Oops, still muted. Let's try again. Still muted, Barbara.
There
There.
we go.
There.
I was in a group with two people that were new to the group, and so it was wonderful, a wonderful way to begin, because we each shared just one little thing and went around and then went around and around and around, and we just kept thinking of more things we were feeling grateful for. And so it was a real and a beautiful way to begin with happy hour with you.
Nice. Oh, sweet. That makes me so happy. I'm delighted that as someone who's been coming to Happy Hour for many years now, Barbara, you were with you were greeting folks who were here for the first time with this fun, joyful practice. Oh, that makes my heart happy. Thanks for sharing that. Fred, I see your hand, please.
Well, as a bookend to what Barbara just said, I was in a group with people I've come to know now for several years. And that was wonderful. And I felt, and I think most of us felt just real gratitude for one another, but also for so many others that we see on the screen here, and for you, Nikki, and for being able to be part of this practice many times a week. Thank you.
Thank you for that book ending comment, Fred. That brings joy to my heart in a different way for the established connections through this happy hour over the many years as you have met and got to know each other and appreciate each other and gratitude. Also for this for this community, for this for the all the causes and conditions that have brought m many years of happy hour together possible. Thanks, Fred. Yeah, I feel grateful for that. Yay. Yeah. I thought I saw a hand and it disappeared. I see one question. Let's see. Hi, Nikki. Can you talk about how comparing oneself to others relates to today's practice? Ah, yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, comparison is the thief of joy. It's basically if you want to, if one wants to become miserable, basically, it's, you know, one is to compare experiences. Oh, this wasn't as good as that, or this was this thing. Oh, yeah, that was a letdown. You know, comparing instead of meeting everyone new, every experience new. And then comparing oneself, which is more the question that has been sent to me, is comparing oneself. It's maybe one thing I would say is what is really helpful is consider that each person, each being is born of all the causes and conditions of their life that is so unique to them. And I can only be me. I can only be the best version of Nikki I can possibly be. I can't be anybody else because I haven't had the causes and conditions of their birth, their genetics, their upbringing, their education. It's not possible. So comparing ourselves to others is kind of crazy. It's crazy in the way that, I mean, we do that, of course, but it doesn't make sense with eyes of wisdom when you really truly see that each person has their unique causes and conditions. And I can't compare myself to them because if I compare myself to that other person, I have to compare every cause and condition, like go back through like years and years of history of their parents and their great parents and their great great parents and their conditions and their lives and their upbringing and their, it just doesn't, right? So I can just compare myself to the best version of me. That's all I can do because that's anyway, I hope that is helpful to the person who wrote the question to me privately, to help bring a different perspective to loosen that comparative mind, which is the thief of joy and thief of gratitude and doesn't make sense anyway through the eyes of wisdom. And if you need more explanation, you can also write in chat and maybe I can talk about it in a different way. Any other reflections, questions before we turn? Claire in New York, still in New York. You're muted still. Gonna ask you to unmute.
Okay, there we go.
There.
Still happy in New York.
Still happy in New York.
Yes. I thought this is a real quickie, but I thought it was very interesting that two of the three of us keep a daily gratitude list, which I
Nice.
totally recommend to everybody else because it makes such a difference.
Great. I just love that. Claire, you brought this up many times, and I just love that you keep bringing it. I love it. You're the poster child for gratitude
Well,
practice. I
when
love it.
something, if it works, you gotta sell it.
I love it. I just love it.
We almost had a chance to hear Richard play his guitar too.
Oh, that's sweet. That would bring up Gratitude
So
and
I'm grateful for the fun group I was in.
oh, it's sweet. That is very sweet. Yeah. Thank you, Claire, and thanks for putting in a vote as always for the Valley of Gratitude Journal. Yeah. I used to do that actually for a while. At first with someone else, we'd do it together, and that was really joyous. And then I would do it on my own, and then it became a practice at night whenever I went to bed. And I'm glad you said it because I realized I've just been so jet lagged recently. I traveled to India and back, and like I just kind of lost my, the practice. Like you have a habit pattern set, and you come back from a trip, and you're like, wait, what was I doing? What? So I'm so glad you brought it back because I think I'm going to do that again. So I'll tell you what my practice is when I go to bed at night before I fall asleep. Basically, I go through everything, like everything that happened through the day with an uplift, like, oh yay, that happened. Yay. There's just a little bit of ding of gratitude. Oh yeah, that happened. And I send that email. Yay. And I received that. And so that's my
Yep,
version of it,
exactly.
Claire. Yeah. Thank you. And Diana, please.
Well, you just said what I was going to say. What I do is before I go to bed at night, is I write down a grateful list, and not just two or three things. Sometimes it just explodes, but also with the thought of why I'm grateful. Doesn't take long, and I've learned I like to do it then, because when I wake, it's probably the last thing I do, maybe before I go to sleep. When I wake up in the morning, I tend to be very clear and feel good. Something has happened, so that's all I have to say. It's a wonderful way to wake up in the morning.
Beautiful. I love
Not
that.
always, but with a smile on my face, so, and I
That's
remember something I'm grateful for, so thank
sweet. I love thanks, Diana. I like the impact
you.
of it, right? The morning after, the day after. And what you just said reminded me of a researcher, a gratitude researcher, who said that counting your blessings is a much better way to fall asleep than counting sheep. Yeah, because also you also wake up feeling happier. Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Diana. I appreciate that. And let's see. Yes, the reflection from the person who had asked about comparison. Thank you. That's very helpful. I often judge myself for not doing what I think others are doing, even if I have chosen not to do those things with some intention. I know this isn't beneficial, so it helps to have lots of tools to address it. Great, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your reflection, and for the benefit of everyone, because comparison is something that we all do, and it's helpful to to have tools to address it. It's not right. It's not wise. It's not helpful, and yet we do it, and kind of like makes us. It belittles us. Yeah, it's important to discuss that. Anything else before we close about comparison, about gratitude, about vicarious joy, happiness for the happiness of others? Maybe one last reflection. And anyone really got into feeling happy for the happiness of someone else? Yes, I see hands. Yeah, I see a bunch of hands. Great, lovely, awesome. Anybody want to say anything about it? Especially if you're new to happy hour, do you want to say anything about it? Anyone? Can raise your Zoom hand, your physical hand. I may not see. I see Neil.
I'm going to say I'm new because every day is new.
Good one.
So, right, something that I found I did today, right? I was thinking about my wife. She really digs our dog and it brings her such great joy, And so I was thinking about that. And then I remembered that she's spoken about getting a dog when she was young and how much joy that brought her. And it was very interesting because thinking of her as a young child having joy, right, as good as it was going, it like whoosh, like opened the floodgates, And that was a very interesting thing because other people, I'm pretty sure, have been young and happy kids too.
So it seemed like, a new trick in the a new arrow in the arrow thingy. I forget what it's called. To use, as to help, appreciate, right? Thinking about them when they were kids.
Yeah, beautiful, Neil. I'm so glad to hear you say that. And when you say about, talk about the arrow and in your whatever that thing you call, I'm forgetting as well. But it's like being a the idea of not so much making war, right? Because we associate not arrows not just with war, but also with the Cupid. Like you're being a Cupid of your own heart, right? It's like, oh yeah, here's another arrow, sweetie. I'm gonna wake up, open up your floodgates. Thinking of someone that you care about, being grateful and happy as a child. Wow, what a beautiful twist on that. Yeah, I appreciate your experimenting, Neil. This is how these practices work. We just experiment and whoa, we come to a gold mine. Very sweet. Thank you. I see Rain's hand.
Yeah, what was great for me is I have a lot of sisters. I have seven sisters, and I'm really close to my sister Gabriel, and she lives in New York, and I don't get to visit her often. And I was thinking about all the ways I was so happy about her happy marriage. She has a son that it's really their little love nest there. They had a lot of fun with the snow in New York, and it was just like I had visited her. It was such a warm feeling of wow. Just, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, Rain. As you're talking about it, actually, it's almost you're inviting me viscerally into this joyous connection that you have and visiting her. Ah, yeah, embodiment. Just feels so embodied, alive, rich, this relationship. Thank you.
You're
Thank you.
welcome.
Thanks for sharing this. Richard, I see your hand as well, and there.
Oh, I just want to tell you, I do a joyful form of Tonglen, where I breathe in the happiness of others and breathe out my happiness to them.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. That's great. Thanks, Richard. I love that. We should try that, all of us. Together, maybe next time I'll try that at happy hour. Yes. Oh, beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, beautiful. How fun. How fun. And I just realized that the chat was to me only, not to everyone. So both Neil and Erica said the arrow thingy is called a quiver. So now we know. And someone, I don't know if this was intended to be private or not, but one person said this reflection probably wasn't supposed to be private. But anyway, something that was said in the meeting room was, quote, "I am grateful and happy to also share the silence with both of you." And the person says, "I thought it was so beautiful." And it is beautiful. What a, oh, how beautiful. I'll read it again. "I'm grateful and happy to also share the silence with both of you." What a gift to be able to share silence with one another. Yeah. So, dear ones, we've come to the end of our time together, and I'm uplifted and feel more connected to you, whether it's you're imagining your partner as a child, enjoying a dog, or visiting your sister, and or what or taking arrows from your quiver. All the ways that we've shared our practice together, whether you've supported new people in the practice, connected with friends you've made, lots of joy. So thank you all for your practice. May our practice be cause and conditioned for wisdom and compassion and joy for ourselves and all beings everywhere. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your practice. I'm going to stop the recording.